This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Oh yeah, a little Johnny Cash for you this morning. The Ring of Fire, do you remember that? That was a great song, one of my favorites that Johnny Cash sang. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this delightful Friday morning, October the 18th. Wow, more than halfway through this month already. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Mustafa Akil, a Turkish journalist. He's an Islamic expert. And we're going to talk about the history of the Turks and the Kurds, you know, regarding their latest conflict. So stay tuned for that. And President Trump found himself in Dallas last night for another rally. Boy, you look at those people mobbing him, mobbing the place, and you go, how is he going to lose again? How's he going to lose? I mean, he gets an amazing number of people. At the same time, critics now say they have found the quid pro quo in the Ukrainian call. Even the Tampa Bay Times front page headline makes it look like Trump is all but done in. We'll get the take on all of this and what mainstream America really thinks when we talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, you know, Halloween just around the corner. So we're going to give you the top 10 most haunted cities in America. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And if you live in Tampa Bay, you live anywhere in Tampa Bay, if you don't go to Andrew's Master Barbershop, you will not get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You got to go there. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Great haircut and a great price. And please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Yours and mine, ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed sets up every one of our shows on there. You can listen at your leisure to any one of them. All right, we got a lot going on right now, and I don't know where to begin. I guess last night, despite everything that's going on, you know, ever see a old-time movie with the pie throwing, and they'll have different characters, you know, and they'll have a shot of them standing there looking real, you know, stiff and straight, and then they get a lemon pie right in the face, a custard pie right in the face, you know it's coming, right? Because everyone's going to get hit with a pie. So I'm thinking Donald Trump is like the guy standing waiting to get hit by the custard pie. All of these things that are being thrown at him, and he's going to Dallas. Not that he's oblivious about what's occurring. He just kind of moves on, right? And Ed, I don't know if you watched any of that rally last night, but I must tell you, no matter what you think is happening to Donald Trump, if you watch a few minutes of that rally and you watch all of those people that were there, and I mean, they were really enthusiastic, and he packed it. And he had almost as many people outside the rally as he had inside the rally. I mean, did you watch any of that at all last night?
No, I did not.
Okay. Ed's been busy today. I should probably not bother him right now. He's got a lot to do, so I'm going to leave him alone.
Something keeps screwing up my computer here.
Okay. No wonder, Ed. I thought that you were rather untalkative this morning, but that's understandable. I would be downright jumping up and down. You think you can solve that little issue? Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, so I'm going to leave Ed. He's, you know, he does a wonderful job for me. Sets up this room. You know, when I come in the morning, he takes his he's got the television going. He's got the computer on for me. My special light. He's really a thoughtful guy. So I dare not get on his bad side. He's too good a guy. I got to keep him on my side. Well, anyway, there was about 30,000 people outside the arena. It's called the American Airlines Center. And they were watching Donald Trump inside. They were watching on a large screen. There were at least 30,000. Maybe there was maybe 30,000 people inside as well. It was packed. And it was like three levels of people. And they were, of course, this is Texas. And you expect them to be conservative and Republican. So away he went. And you know Trump feeds off the crowd, right? I mean, it's like spinach to Popeye. Spinach to Popeye is a rally full of people to Donald Trump. He just gets stronger and stronger on it. He went after Beto O'Rourke, who himself is a Texan. Beto, of course, running for the presidency. Called him, quote, very dumb, unquote. You got to admit that Trump has a way of finding the goat and getting it. He said, last week, a very dumb Democratic candidate for president. That's the end of him in this state. Pledged to revoke the tax-exempt status of many churches and religious charities. And, of course, the people booed like crazy at that, right? And then he goes on. And, by the way, that was after a few weeks ago he said, excuse me, we're going to take your guns away. Now, Beto O'Rourke has been stuck trying to figure out how he's going to go into everybody's homes and take away their AK-47s and hunting rifles that he would consider to be dangerous. Well, of course he can't do it. And yet he says that's what the government will have to do because he would demand that they be removed from everybody's house and everybody's possession in this country. That alone, you know. And he's from Texas? That's kind of crazy. That doesn't make any sense at all. So anyway, in the meantime, the headline in the Tampa Bay Times, Ukraine defense in disarray, in big, huge, across the top of the page headlines, Ukraine defense in disarray. And this has to do with White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney saying to reporters that when Trump was on the phone call, he did indeed talk a little bit about checking into Biden's son and the quashing of the investigation into that utility company, that energy company that Biden's son was on the board. They think now they've got the quid pro quo. Wow. Well, we're going to talk later about that with Andrew the Master Barber. But the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk with a Turkish journalist by the name of Mustafa Akil. And we're going to talk about the history of the Turks and Kurds regarding their latest conflict. She's as skinny as a stick of macaroni. Jeans on. She's not very bad, just skin and bone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday morning and delighted to have Mustafa Akul join us. He is from the Cato Institute, the great Cato Institute, libertarian think tank. He's also an Islamic expert and a Turkish journalist. And we're going to talk with Mustafa about the ongoing conflict between Turkey and the Kurds and a little bit of the history of those two groups. Mustafa, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely our pleasure. Now, you have penned a piece in the New York Times a few days ago. No, Kurds and Turks are not natural enemies, Mr. Trump. Could you explain what... first of all, before we get into that, let me ask you this. How do you feel about this latest agreement between the United States or Donald Trump and the head of Turkey on the withdrawal of Turkish troops from that Syrian border area?
Sure. I mean, I welcome this agreement. It's going to at least stop the bloodshed in northern Syria, at least for now. A lot of people in the U.S. criticized this, saying that the U.S. government gave too much into Turkish demands. Maybe that's partly true, but also it was important that you establish ceasefire and stop the advance of Turkey and find a peaceful settlement. Actually, in my New York Times article on Sunday that you referred to, I had called on the U.S. government to mediate between Turkey and the Kurdish forces in Syria. So I'm glad that it worked somehow. And I hope this will, at least for now, halt the conflict there.
Yes, I don't know if you could call it a ceasefire. It seems like it's possibly a temporary halt. Do you think, Mustafa, that Donald Trump's idea to pull U.S. troops out of that area, which a lot of people are saying is the reason that the Turks were then a little bit more aggressive with the Kurds. Do you think that pulling those troops was a good idea?
I mean, I understand the idea of pulling out troops from these conflicts that the U.S. is involved in the past two decades in Afghanistan, Iraq, and in Syria. Actually, the U.S. was directly involved, but yes, it has troops there. I understand and sympathize with that sentiment. But I think these things should be done in a more orderly fashion and with more diplomacy. And when the U.S. pulls out, there shouldn't be a chaos. So maybe it could have been done in a more orderly way and more...
It seemed like spur of the moment. Yeah, it seemed like spur of the moment, didn't it? And it's like kind of catching everybody surprised rather than saying, look...
It did. It happened after a phone conversation with Erdogan, as I understand.
Yes.
And then Turkey saw the vacuum and just entered. This deal between Turkey and the Kurdish forces there could have been set up before the U.S. pulls out. U.S. could have said, okay, we will pull out from this region, but we don't want a conflict. What is Turkey's concerns? How can we balance that with the security and the legitimate demands of the Kurdish forces there? How can we set this up? So maybe there could be a deal before the conflict began. But I mean, it was an erratic way. It just happened right away, and it led to this Turkish buffer zone. I'm still glad that it didn't turn out to be as terrible as many people thought. Of course, we will see whether this will hold, as you said. In 5 days, in 4 days, Turkey will talk to Russia about this. Erdogan will talk to Putin. And actually, Russia has become the biggest game maker there. I mean, the biggest deal maker there. Assad regime and Russia had big gains in the past several years and in the past several weeks. So we will see how it goes. But it's a very complicated conflict.
Yes, it is. It really is. I mean, we have Turkey, a member of NATO. So we always have, and we have nuclear missiles, U.S. nuclear missiles in Turkey. So Erdogan has access to that. Now, nobody's saying that he's going to do anything. But, you know, it's very, I mean, if you think about it, if you think about it too much, you start shaking.
Well, it is complicated. And yes, Turkey is a member of NATO since early 1950s. Turkey joined the Korean War on the side of the U.S. against communism, so that was our entry into NATO. And there's certainly a pro-Russian swing in Turkey in the past couple of years. Erdogan became very good friends with Putin. Turkey began to buy Russian missiles. Turkey's political system growingly resembles that of Russia, which I'm not really happy to see. But I believe in the need to keep Turkey in the Western alliance as much as we can. This Erdogan era in Turkey is an extraordinary era. It will end at some point. And I think there is a Turkey beyond Erdogan. He maybe has support of half of society, but the half of society is against him. That bigger opposition forces, I mean, they would like to join the EU. They would like to make Turkey a liberal democracy. So I think there's Turkey beyond Erdogan that we shouldn't brush away, and I do believe in keeping Turkey in NATO. Regarding the Kurds, I mean, this is a century-old problem. It just begins with, actually, the Turkish Republic after the Ottoman Empire. I mean, Turkey declared itself as a Turkish state, and Kurds, who are different people, who have a different language, they didn't fit in. And there has been Kurdish revolts against the central authority, various revolts over the past century, and since 1980s, Turkey is fighting with PKK, which is a Kurdish nationalist and Marxist-Leninist group. And although Turkey has been brutal in this conflict, PKK is also no angel. So that is the issue.
So we've got fact. Right. So we've got. By the way, we're talking with Mustafa Akul, who is a Cato Institute expert. He is a Turkish journalist and writer, who penned a piece called No, Kurds and Turks Are Not Natural Enemies, Mr. Trump, in the New York Times. And that gets me into asking you a little bit about that history, Mustafa. So around World War I, which started in 1914, just prior to that, were the Turks and the Kurds getting along?
They were getting along, yeah. And that was one of the points I tried to make in the piece. Before World War I, there was the Ottoman Empire. And whatever we think about the Ottomans, I mean, just like the Habsburgs, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, it was a multi-ethnic, multi-religious mosaic. So Kurds, Turks, Arabs, Armenians, Jews, Greeks lived under the Ottoman Empire. And the collapse of the empire was tragic, horrible, and Armenians suffered heavily from there, for example. But it was a pluralistic model. Like America, you could be an African-American, Jew, American-Italian. But when the empire collapsed, you had these nation-states being formed. So Bulgaria, Serbia, Greece in the Balkans, and in Iraq, Turkey, and in the Middle East, Iraq, Turkey, Syria. And these states had minorities, and they suppressed those minorities supposedly to gain stability, but quite the contrary, those minorities reacted to this oppression. And the Kurdish problem is a clear example. Yet still, I don't think today still there are millions of Kurds who are living in Turkey and they're happy to be citizens of Turkey. They just want more cultural rights. So it's wrong to see that every Turk and Kurd are enemies with each other. There are many mixed marriages. Istanbul is Turkey's biggest Kurdish city now, people say. A lot of Kurds live there, and they have found jobs. They're part of society. But there is a conflict going on between the PKK and Turkey. And the conflict in Syria is a spillover of that, because the Kurdish forces are there linked with PKK. But there is no military solution to this problem. That was Turkey and Kurdish forces should make peace somehow. And there was even a chance for that in 2015, and we should revive that. And the U.S. can help by helping reviving that.
Do you think we're any closer to getting the Turks and the Kurds to break bread, make peace? Or do you think we're further apart with this latest decision by Trump to pull troops?
It may help. I mean, first of all, we should remember that. We should remember that Turkey is not fighting all Kurds as such, but the PKK, which is a specific party among the Kurds. There's Iraqi Kurdistan, for example, and Turkey doesn't have a problem with Iraqi Kurdistan. Turkey invested in Iraqi Kurdistan. So PKK is a specific movement, and yes, there's a conflict there. But it was Erdogan himself, until 2015, who led a long peace process with the PKK. There was no conflict in Turkey at the time, and Turkey was not fighting any Kurdish forces in Syria. That unfortunately collapsed because Erdogan didn't get much out of it. The PKK side demanded too much, and the Syrian civil war influenced and disrupted the whole process. But if there's a good ideal between Turks and Kurds, it's to revive that process. Can the U.S. help? Well, U.S. is not going to solve all the problems in the world, obviously, especially these conflict, these very complicated ones. But U.S. can help by speaking to the Kurdish forces and, you know, telling them to back up in, you know, certain areas, and also calming down Turkey, which is what we saw, actually, in the past couple of days. So we should aspire for building more diplomacy and negotiation between all these conflicting forces in the region, which includes Turkey and PKK-affiliated Kurds.
We're talking with Mustafa Akul, and he is a Turkish journalist. He is connected with the great Cato Institute. And Mustafa, it's not just political and social when it comes to all of these groups, but it's also religious. Now, we've got different factions of Islam that are involved. So does that, you know, in connection to the Turks and the different tribes or groups and Kurds, the religious situation also kind of makes things more complex, right?
It does, of course. And, I mean, honestly, sometimes parts of the Middle East look like 17th century Europe when Catholics and Protestants were really fighting each other, the 30 Years War. Luckily, Christianity outgrew that, you know, very bad era, thanks to ideas of liberty and toleration, which are, I think, more and more needed in the Muslim world today. Yes, there is a religious element to it. I mean, not the conflict between Kurds and Turks do not much have much of a religious element.
Because
Kurds are Muslim, too. Yeah, Kurds are Sunni Muslim.
The Kurds are both Sunnis, Sunni Muslims?
They're Sunni Muslims. And that's why they intermarry. So it's not a religious element there. However, the PKK is a very secular organization. It's a Marxist organization. And Erdogan is a very conservative Muslim. So there is a kind of Islam versus secular element to the conflict there right now. But it's not like the Sunni-Shia conflict where you have two sects fighting
right.
each other.
Right.
But that conflict is there. It's a part of the tension in Iraq and Syria, obviously.
So this is more political than religious. This is ethnic.
It's like French and Germans fighting each other, although they're both Christian, right? I mean, that was a big part of the European history.
Yeah, it's just so complex. So people don't know enough about what is going on with all of this. But We're hopeful that we can maintain that kind of peace. Donald Trump has now kind of threatened Erdogan, the head of Turkey currently, with different kinds of economic sanctions. Do you think that in any way will change Erdogan's plans, or will he just not factor that in when it comes to this ceasefire? I mean, what do you think is going on in Erdogan's mind on this ceasefire?
Well, Erdogan, I mean, I should say that I'm no fan of Erdogan. I'm a critic of Erdogan, and I think he's an authoritarian leader that really made things very bad in many different ways in the past several years. I mean, he started nicely with reforms and economic development, but things got really bad. On the other hand, I think that the world should not be just merely obsessed with Erdogan and just put sanctions on Turkey and so on and so forth, which may make things worse. Erdogan's game is to stay in power indefinitely as much as he can go. And he needs narratives and fighting against the PKK, which 80-90% of Turks see as a terrorist organization, is always a win. So he needs a success story. And Turkish economy is going down, and a lot of things in Turkey are really not very bright. So his votes are declining. And probably part of this operation was domestic, and he wanted to have a victory against the terrorists, which he partly had now. I think the Western world should have a carrots and sticks policy towards Erdogan's Turkey. Turkey should not be defined as an enemy. I mean, Turkey is still a member of NATO, and Turkey is still fighting ISIS. We should not forget that as well. Turkey is not a supporter of ISIS, as some people argued. But Erdogan is authoritarian. He's jailing journalists. So the Western world should be concerned about those issues.
And also his alliance with Russia?
Yeah, that's a part of the deal. That's a part of the picture. But I think the more Turkey is defined categorically as an enemy of the West, the alliance with Russia will accelerate. And I worry that Turkey will end up like Turkmenistan and somewhere, I mean, totally as Russian under influence and a total autocratic state. But also, let's not forget that Erdogan lost elections in Ankara and Istanbul in the local elections a few months ago. There's still a chance that things might turn in Turkey. There's still a chance that opposition forces may come to power, and those will be more pro-European Union, pro-democracy forces. They can put Turkey on track. So that's why, yes, there are big problems with Erdogan, but Turkey is bigger than Erdogan. And I think the West should follow a careful policy of criticizing Turkey, sometimes putting leverage on Turkey. Turkey does things that are obviously unacceptable, but also not pushing Turkey further towards the arms of Russia.
Well, Mustafa, it's been a real delight talking with you and listening to you with your great knowledge of what is going on in that critical area there.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't have that much great knowledge, but I'm trying to.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to be fair. Thank you. Yeah.
You have been, and I thank you so very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you. It's my pleasure, and hope to speak next time.
It sounds good to me. All right, Mustafa Akul, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the barber poll will be brought out, and we're going to find out what they think about the rally last night and these newest quid pro quo claims in the Ukrainian phone call.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Travel around the world and you'll never have to leave St. Pete at the 45th Annual International Folk Fair, October 25th through the 27th, with the Betty Fox Band performing Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at noon. Visit over 39 countries, watch parades, sample their food, and purchase gift items. Check out the Beer Garden on Saturday with bands performing on the main stage. Admission is just $10 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 6 are free. It's the 45th Annual International Folk Fair at the Vinoy Park in St. Pete, all presented by spiffs.org.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. back on a Friday morning. And if it's Friday morning, it must mean that we'll be talking with the proprietor of the only poll that matters in this country, as far as I'm concerned, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, Donald Trump's great rally, I say great rally in the sense that, I mean, it was packed to the packed to the top in that stadium last night. Did you watch any of that?
Paul, I watched every minute of it. You know me better than that.
Yes, I do.
Every minute. And you know what? Yesterday he proved what a fighter he is. You hear him?
Yeah.
He proved it, buddy. He hammered them all. He said what's going on, and I'm very proud of it, to be honest with you.
He's like Popeye the Sailor when it comes to a rally, isn't he? It's like spinach to him. You know, to Popeye, he goes to a rally and all of those people, you can see him glowing. Seems like he gets stronger and stronger and more energetic.
Yes, he does. He gets stronger all the time. There's no question about that. And again, forget about what the polls are telling you because you see what the crowds are doing. Polls mean nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he draws people, and he had about 30,000 people standing outside watching him on a big screen there, too.
That's right. That's right. There's no question about it, Paul. People are happy what's going on. I was just reading 2 minutes ago about Turkey here reneging on their ceasefire. So I don't even know how good that's going.
Is that true? I have not seen that.
Whether it's true or not, I don't know. It just says it looks like Trump is going to have to get tough with Turkey. They promised a ceasefire. Turkey reneged on their word.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm looking
at it. Just reading it now, so I don't know what's going on there. But hopefully he's going to put all kinds of sanctions on him and chokes him.
Yeah, in fact, that's something we just spoke with a Turkish journalist, and we were looking into a little bit of the history between the Turks and the Kurds. Such a complicated situation, and the fact that we can even broach any kind of a ceasefire there
would be wonderful. Well, you know, you had Turkey with the Greeks, too. You know, the Greeks aren't too fond of them.
No, that's right. That whole area is a cauldron. I mean, if anybody goes back and looks at the history of World War I and the Ottoman Empire and all of those different groups that were fighting over there, that was a good part of the reason that World War I started. And it's fascinating and complex at the same time. So I wanted to ask you, the chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, goes on in front of reporters and seems to contradict what Trump was saying about whether there was a quid pro quo in that Ukrainian phone call. Wanted to get your thoughts on that.
He already backstepped on that one, okay? Yeah, he had already backstepped on that one. I don't think that, Paul, none of this is going anywhere. It's not going anywhere.
I'm not even sure they're going to. I would give you odds that they're not even going to vote on an impeachment.
I don't think they're going to vote on an impeachment. I don't think they know where they're coming or going. You see one of their head fighters, Elijah, he's gone.
Elijah Cummings passed away. Yes, he did. That was kind of a shock. I didn't realize he was that ill.
Well, I thought there was something wrong with him for 68 years old. He looked a lot older than that.
He did look poorly at the end, yes.
Yeah, but they say that he was writing subpoenas on his deathbed, this guy, okay?
Yeah, he was part of the impeachment. He was part of the impeachment crowd in the Democratic Party. Yes,
right. They're saying that his last two impeachments he signed on his deathbed, they're believing now were signed by somebody else because the signatures are no longer the same. But a guy dying, you know, his signature is not going to be the same anyway because they could hardly move.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, if the guy's dying, why are you even sitting there writing this stuff, man? Just go in peace and let it go. But anyway. He's gone. Who knows where it goes from there? You know, so there's no Adam Schiff's whistleblower showing up. There's nothing there, Paul. And supposedly this IG report is supposed to be coming out Monday. I don't know if I'm going to hold my breath or not.
You know, we have been waiting for that report, my friend. You and I and a lot of other people through the summer waiting for the report.
That's right.
So,
there's no question.
Now we're into the fall. I want to ask you about Rick Perry. Rick Perry decided to resign as the energy secretary under Donald Trump. However, and he's from Texas, and he was in the crowd last night. I don't know if you saw that, but Trump waved at him and saluted him, and they seem to be. And Perry is saying nothing but great things about Donald Trump. Why do you think Rick Perry is resigning?
Well, I think Hunter Biden's going to come in on that one because he's a specialist on energy. You know, so I think they're leaving that position open for him.
I never thought of that.
But yeah, Hunter Biden and John Kerry's energy, son. Yep, and you know, Paul, I think you're going to see a lot of other people, and as far as
that's all right. As far as replacing Rick Perry, I don't think Hunter will be his first choice. However, however, Hunter did go over to the Ukraine and got sit on the board of directors.
That's right.
The only thing I can think of is that there were chemicals involved with Hunter Biden prior to his going over there, and indeed there were chemicals involved with that utility energy company. That's the only connection I can see.
We're going to see a lot coming out here, I believe. You know, Trump started fighting last night, and I can see it coming out in him. I think he's waiting till everything is down. He wants everything hammered in his hands. He wants a definite case against these people. And I think you're going to see them all going down, buddy. I really believe it.
Have you heard about this, I guess you could call a whistleblower at CNN? And and now, I mean, talk about whistleblowers. This guy at Project Veritas, which he admits he is a conservative journalist and whistleblower. And he had some people that were working at CNN. He didn't have them, but people at CNN were taping some of the conversations between CNN bigwigs like Zucker, who is the head of CNN, and they were talking about how, you know, screw the other news stories. We want to focus on the Trump impeachment. Did you hear about any of that?
Yeah, of course I did. I watched it all. I watched all the bites that they had, everything. But you know what? Here's a true whistleblower. You know why? They had the proof. They had the videos. They got it right in front of you. This isn't a whistleblower like Schiff is talking about. Produce it. Let's hear where it's coming from.
Well, you would think that CNN would have to respond to this and say, you know what? We're not. I mean, everybody, it's like if it walks.
They won't say nothing,
right,
Paul. They won't say nothing.
But if it
just
walks like
ABC.
A duck. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck.
It is a duck.
Looks like a duck. It's a duck. And CNN has been attacking Donald Trump ever since he decided to run for the presidency. Now we know it because we can hear the people talking about how they're going to be shaping their news almost entirely around impeachment.
That's right. Well, Paul, like I said, it's out in the open. There's your whistleblower with proof in black and white. Actually, it's in living color.
Yeah.
But as far as the whistleblower that the Democrats have, we don't have nothing about it, do we?
No, because the whistleblower, first of all, we don't know anything more about him. He's in hiding. I think he's on an island.
Now, here's what I want to know, too. They said that the whistleblower had death threats, right?
That's
where
you hear it. Yes, I have.
Well, if they don't know who the hell the whistleblower is, how the heck did he get death threats?
I know. You know, that's a good point.
Right?
It's a good point. I guess the person that was threatening called in and said, I don't know who it is, but tell them whoever it is, I'm out to get them.
That's right. You know? I mean, it's all a bunch of baloney, yeah. Paul. This is all going to come down. It's a snowball that started a little snowball at the top of the hill, and Trump's waiting until it gets 5 feet around at the bottom of the hill, and it's going to explode.
On another note, my friend, are you doing well?
I'm doing fine right now, thank you. I'm working alone.
Yes.
Biding my time in between.
Your daughter, Candy, is up in...
Candy, that poor girl left to go on vacation. She hasn't had a vacation in 3 years. She left to go to Charlotte, South Carolina?
Charleston, and I think
Savannah,
Georgia.
That's right, and that storm is going right there.
Oh, is there a storm going on that's moving towards there, or is it there already?
It's moving toward us. No, it's coming toward us. And then going straight up.
Oh, you're talking about the possible tropical storm.
Right.
We're going to have to take a look at that. I didn't know it was that close.
I hope she brought her marbles game with her and she got a good room.
Oh, my goodness. A very sturdy room. Well, as always, we really appreciate it talking with you, Master Barber Andrew Sorese. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again next week. There'll be a lot more news to talk about.
You got it, Paul, and may Trump be with you. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right.
Be good.
Thank you, sir. Andrew the Master Barber. All right. Let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we want to tell you the top 10 most haunted cities in America.
Oh, you sweet thing.
Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby.
chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, wiggling a walk and a giggling a talk. Make the world go round.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
The Brian Cash Clause Radio Show. More business for your business every Thursday at 2. 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. Local business owners, listen up. We direct more customers through your doors with a printed coupon book and radio show. More business for your business. Call 727-600-4889. That's 727-600-4889.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on. Hey, we're back for the final section of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Thank you so very, very much for listening to us. I wanted to direct your attention to a little article I found last night coming out of MarketWatch on the internet. That I really thought kind of paints a little bit of a picture of what healthcare can do. There is a couple, Kevin and Susan Bryant. He's 55, she is 48. They've spent most of their lives in Texas. They have recently retired to Spain. Now, why Spain? Because, first of all, Kevin is a history buff. He always wanted to live in Europe. So that was one of the reasons. But the other reason is healthcare, the cost of healthcare in this country. And he found out that he could go to this portion of Spain that he moved to is called Denia, D-E-N-I-A. I hope I am pronouncing that right. It's either Denia or Denia. So they moved to Denia after he specked out Spain, if that's such a word, you know, went around looking at different places in Spain. They moved there in 2016. He says they spend roughly $130 a month for private health insurance, $130 a month. Very pleased with the quality of their care. They have a particular doctor that they go to, and says it's just terrific. It's a free market kind of health care there. Now, there are other things that are also less expensive in Spain. And he's living on a pension. And he says they live very well on $2,000 a month. They spend about $670 in rent, and they live in a two-bedroom apartment near the beach with a shared pool. Guess how much electricity per month they're spending? $82. $82! How much on water? $33. Internet? $33. Phone? $44. He goes to the gym. That's more expensive than his electricity. It's $90 for the gym. So anyway, just a thought. There are a lot of people that are actually looking when they start to retire because of the cost of healthcare in particular. Is it worth staying here? And he's one of the people that doesn't think it is. Okay, before we get to our top 10, and we have a great top 10, Ed, a great top 10, top 10 haunted cities in America, I want to talk a little bit about World Series. Ed, did you get a chance at all, or were you interested in that World Series game? I'd say World Series. It's not yet.
Division.
I should say it's the championship series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've already got the Washington Nationals as the National League champs, waiting for that game, the contest between the Houston Astros and the Yankees. So I guess Houston won again last night.
Yes, they did.
So what do you think?
Well, the Yankees are on the brink of elimination, which is so sad.
I detect a little bit of cynicism and sarcasm?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, I do.
But
so we're going to have Houston versus Washington. Let's just assume that. Who do you like?
Yeah, Major League Baseball probably would prefer. Well,
yeah, they would.
Nothing's going to be higher than the ratings right now.
But Houston's a big city. Houston's that's third
true.
Or fourth largest.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
But they'd still like the Yankees to be in there. So.
Yeah. Oh, the Yankees are always big.
Yeah. So looks like they'll get bounced. I hope they wrap it up tonight. So
you do.
And get it underway and get it over with.
Okay. So we're going to have a Houston and Washington. Who do you like and who would you root for?
I would have to say Houston. I would like to see Houston go all the way because they knocked the Rays out. So
yeah,
if you get knocked out by the eventual champs, then that gives you a little bit of credit.
That does. Now, last night...
Because I think if the Rays went to New York, they would have beat the Yankees.
You know, that's an interesting... I thought the Rays had a shot at the start, and they actually did very, very well. They won that wild card game, but after that, of course, it was tough. They played Houston, and Houston does look good. I don't know who can beat Houston. I'm telling you that I think Houston's going to win it all.
Yeah. It's going to be... I think it'll be... Because Washington has some pretty good pitching, so...
And Washington's never been a World Series champion. So
I didn't
maybe
realize that's
the old... We should root for them, maybe.
That's the old Expos.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And then, the Tampa Bay Rays will soon be the new Expos.
Actually, maybe. They were thinking of calling them the X-Rays.
I like it.
How do you come up with a logo for the X-Rays?
That. That's funny.
Part Expo, part Rays.
The X-Rays. Very good, Ed. That's a great one.
I don't know.
Okay, real quickly. Hockey season. Lightning.
Rolling.
Are rolling. They won in overtime at Boston. Did you watch any of that?
Very, very little. I'll switch. I'm still having Rays withdrawals.
Yes.
So
you're watching baseball rather than hockey?
Yeah, and thank God the Bucks are off this week.
And the Bucks were off. Mm-hmm. Is Jameis Winston long for this world?
I don't think so. I think.
What about the back? Should we play the backup, the Bucks backup quarterback?
Well, Blaine, not people like. Well, why can't we have Ryan Griffin, the third stringer? Because he plays so well in August. Well, he's playing a bunch of guys that get cut. You know,
right?
I've seen him in practice. He doesn't.
So they have to go with Jameis Winston.
So while Blaine Gabbert will be back from his separated shoulder, I think by next week.
Okay, now he is the backup quarterback.
I honestly, he's molded a lot like Fitzpatrick was last year. You know,
you're talking about the backup to Jameis Winston.
Yes, he can throw deep.
The guy's got a shoulder issue.
Yeah, well, he separated his shoulder in the preseason. So he's due to come back. I believe it's this week. And I think if Jameis has one more bad game, which a bad game would consist of, two, three interceptions, a fumble, and less than 300 yards. I think that's a bad game.
He had a pretty bad game this last time.
I think his time's done. And then once they jerk him, he's finished. That's it.
You think so?
Yeah,
at his young age?
Because you'd have to give him a pretty good contract next year, or you could slap the franchise tag on him, which means he'd make $27 million next year for 1 year. He's not worth that. No way.
Right.
No.
Right. Very good. All right, my friend. And now Ed's going to go over to the drums. He's multi-talented. And we're going to give you, because it's Halloween coming up in about 13 days, we're going to give you the top 10 most haunted cities in America. This comes from Rent.com, who compile what they call a fun list of the top 10 most haunted cities from Georgia to Oregon. The cities we chose, they say, all host... or all boast a high number of eerie sights and ghostly sightings. So without further ado, here we go, Ed. Get ready. Number 10. Number 10 is Portland, Oregon. They have developed a reputation as being the most haunted city of the Pacific Northwest due to the Shanghai tunnels. These tunnels were used to kidnap people in the 1800s.
Mm.
Okay, number 9. Boy, you can get higher. I didn't realize you could get that high with your voice.
If you squeeze something tight enough, it'll just change the octave in your voice.
You are excellent. Okay, number nine is San Francisco. San Francisco's Chinatown is home to countless ghost tours and creepy folklore and many other places in San Francisco. Number eight. Where was the scream?
Okay.
Thank you. Number eight is Chicago. Rumored to be one of the Prohibition-era gangsters' favorite places to dump bodies, that sure was. And it's Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, said to be haunted. Okay, number seven. Downtown Charleston, the Battery area, a protective artillery installation during the Civil War, known for its ghost stories that originated with a West African culture that populates parts of South Carolina and Georgia. Number six. That's a great scream. St. Augustine, Ed. St. Augustine, Florida. Nation's oldest city. Castillo de San Marcos, an amazing star-shaped fort, rumored to be one of the most haunted places in the area. Okay. Number five. Number five is San Antonio, Texas. Regarded as the most haunted city in Texas, dozens of ghostly sightings throughout its quarters. Also, the historic site of the Battle of the Alamo, and of course, you got Davy Crockett's ghost roaming that one, right? Mm. Number four, New Orleans has both voodoo and slavery in its past. And you can go on and on about New Orleans, but visit their cemeteries. They're all, you know, they're buried above ground there?
Yeah, because they're below sea level.
Exactly right. Okay, number three. Number three is Salem, Massachusetts. That's where all the witches were.
I was going to pick that number one.
Yeah, well, it's number three. The Salem witch trials in the 1600s. All right. Number two. Would you believe Gettysburg, Pennsylvania?
Mm.
Remember the Battle of Gettysburg? Well, you don't remember it. I remember it.
Mm.
The Battle of Gettysburg, the Civil War battle. 51,000 Americans were killed. 51,000. Okay. So let's see. So they say that nearly all the 40 miles of the Gettysburg battlefields have paranormal activity. Mm. And they even sometimes see ghosts showing up in photos there, including the ghost of Robert E. Lee.
Mm.
All right. All right, Ed. I'm going to see how much you were listening. Remember when I was talking to our master barber, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
This city came up, and it's number one. I wonder if you would know. What do you think is the number one, the number one American city most haunted?
Let's see. Dallas?
That's a good guess. Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
Savannah was named America's most haunted city by the American Institute of Parapsychology, and they should know. The city was home to a Revolutionary War battleground captured by General Sherman of the Civil War. Many tourists choose to take haunted ghost tours while they're in town, excited to learn about the city made famous by the best-selling book Midnight in the Gardens of Good and Evil. So there you go, my friends. Thank you so very much for being with us. Back Monday, remember, freedom works.
Oh, welcome on, everybody, and let's get together tonight.